She's the media maven with her finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of Chicago. If it's happening in the Windy City, she's got you covered. Now here's the lady that puts the fun in fundraising, Candid Candace Jordan.
Well, happy snowy day, everyone. And I hope this podcast is going to last you for the rest of the afternoon, since you have nothing to do on this kind of weather. And, you know, I'm here with, of course, my producer, friend, co-host, John St. Augustine. John, are you out shoveling snow, or what are you up to?
No, I've already taken care of that today, but it reminds me of back when I was a kid, you know, out shoveling snow in Chicago and not doing a hell of a lot on a Friday except listening to the radio.
So kind of
the same thing, yeah.
Well, I hope everybody feels the same way, that they're in and they're going to be ready to listen to this fabulous show that we have planned for them. You know, you and everyone that knows me knows of my love, admiration, adoration of all things Playboy, especially Hugh Hefner. And today I am so excited because we are going to speak to his son, Marston Hefner. He's the eldest son of Hef and Kimberly Conrad Hefner, a beautiful woman, the proud husband, father of Anna and son Forrest, new baby Forrest. And so I have tons of questions, as you can imagine, and I'm just so thrilled, Marston, to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I have very fond memories of you and I at the mansion, and there's always just, there are people that I really enjoyed their energy, and, you know, getting a hug from you was one of the good energies at the mansion.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, you remind me so much of your dad, even his voice, obviously your face. I mean, you know, you just, it's just like he's still here with us, and that just makes me so happy. So today's going to be a wonderful day with you, and I'm thrilled that you're here with me. So I have a lot of questions for you. And the first question I want to ask you is, you know, obviously everybody asks you this question, but my audience may not have heard your answer. You know, what was it like for you as a kid growing up in the spotlight of your dad and his famous empire? Just, you know, give me an overview of how that must have felt.
I think I wanted to be like my dad growing up. I called myself Lil Hef. I had a 3D chat room empire where the room that I owned, like the home that I owned, was called the Playboy Mansion, and I would hire bunnies. And so I had my own little Playboy empire on the virtual world. And I just idolized. I think I idolized my dad. I wanted to be him. And I didn't really understand, you know, the kind of naive young kid looking up to this giant and trying to learn as much as I could from him.
Oh, well, that's a good point. What kind of advice did he give you when you were growing up?
Honestly, his advice was always very poor. he really taught from modeling rather than actually giving advice. And so if I was very sad, I'd say, you know, Dad, I'm really sad. What do I do? And he'd say, stay positive. I was like, you know, that's not good advice, Dad. I still feel sad. But to actually see him and to see his work ethic when you wake up every day, to see his love of routine, his lack of competitiveness. When he would play backgammon, he was obsessed with backgammon every Sunday, and he didn't care if he won or lost. He just was there to have a good time. He didn't care about increasing his skill in backgammon to be the very best backgammon player. He was there to enjoy himself with friends. And so leisure time, pleasure, but also most importantly, the work ethic and the joy he brought to his work. Mm-hmm. I was studying all of that, just, you know, soaking it all in.
Yeah. Oh, I don't blame you. You know, I was always struck by his generosity that a lot of people, you know, he was very quiet about it and, you know, very, you know, in a way, very humble about it. But I remember, and I know this for truth, a lot of the playmates sometimes, as they were past the playmate status and, you know, some of them might have gotten into a bad fix or whatever, that your dad would secretly send them checks to help them out. I mean, I don't know, when I hear all this negative stuff about him, things like that just incense me because he was such a good man. And do you remember his generosity in that way, or have you had any experience with that? Or
I think you're right that, yes, I have. He was very generous with me financially, and I think you're right. He was very generous with his money. With you know, he wasn't a, you know, looking at the budget and how much can I afford. He was more interested in just helping somebody if they needed it. You know, I definitely see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I even remember an instance where Sandra Theodore, I mean, here she got married at the mansion and he threw her bridal shower or whatever. I mean, you know, and then now here she is trashing your dad. You know, we're going to get into that because that's something that's a little thorn in my side. And I want to tell you, though, sure. I listened to several of your podcasts with Bridget and Holly and most recently with Crystal, your stepmom. And I'm so surprised because, I mean, I know I don't know you as well as I wish I did, but I know that you have a kindness about you that's almost incomprehensible. I mean, you were so kind and generous to these girls, and many of them, you know, have not had nice things to say about your dad in Playboy in their books or in public or whatever. What gives you that sort of kind energy to be able to respond in such a manner? Because that is the opposite of the way I would be responding.
I think it's just knowing that my experience at the mansion wasn't all positive. And also understanding the desire to be successful and to be successful, to make money or whatever, the kind of doing things which aren't necessarily good but they're advantageous. I mean, saying something bad about my father might sell a book. It might get you more followers. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at that, I think that's where a lot of this is coming from. Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, but it's just curious that all this comes out, you know, years after he's passed away and can't speak for himself. So that part of it really irks me. But you grew up with a great family. You got siblings that are terrific, Christy, David, Cooper, and you. What are some of your fondest memories about growing up in a kind of a blended family like that?
Growing up in a blended family?
Yeah. What are the highlights? Yeah, no, just what are some of your fondest memories of growing up with your family? I mean, just your siblings. If you have any.
Yeah, I don't know. None come to mind. I think for me and David, going up to Bishop with him, he lives in a small town that nobody really has heard about. And when I was in Tokyo, Japan, I said, I live in Los Angeles. And they were all like, oh, I'm sorry. When I lived in Tokyo, Japan with my rock climbing friends, I said, I live in Los Angeles. And they said, oh, okay, cool. You know, Hollywood. Oh, okay, cool. And then I said, but my brother lives in Bishop. And they were like, eh? Oh, my God, Bishop. So to my rock climbing friends all the way across Tokyo, Bishop was like the best place to live in the world. Because it's like a rock climbing center and it's very hippie, but it's also very, like farm and country. And it's just a small town. So I love going up there, playing some board games with him, enjoying the heat. And there's like a routine there, small town vibe of waking up in the morning, going to the local coffee shop, writing a little bit and then watching a movie with him too. In the evening. I love that.
I love it. Well, the obvious question too is, you know, when Playboy went away, when the magazine went away, everybody that I know was devastated and sad to see it go. And then it went online, and I know that your brother was a creative, chief creative officer, became one for Playboy. How did you feel at the time about the magazine and the switch over to digital?
Honestly, I felt like the magazine has lost its creative, innovative energy for like 40 years. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the articles and stuff, I always liked those. I liked the intelligent design articles or you know, the political articles when I was growing up. Those were always neat. But in terms of doing something that was out of the box, which I think it really took a risk in the very beginning, and my father was very well-spoken and intellectual, I think that was kind of absent from the magazine for a long time. So I wasn't crazy about the magazine even before it went digital. You know?
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, I read an interesting article, a Q&A in the January 2009, I think it was a 55th anniversary issue, where it was a Q&A with you and Cooper. And Cooper said that if he had the reins of the magazine, that he would have taken the centerfolds back to the look of the 50s and 60s. And I thought, oh my God, that would have been such a great idea, because everything old is new again. And I thought that retro idea would have been great. What do you think about that? Did you have any ideas about the centerfold and how you might change it if you had the opportunity?
I like that idea a lot. I like the vintage idea. I think it would do well. A lot of my ideas are not necessarily saleable, but I would get rid of men and women distinction, like no men allowed. I would get rid of, I would talk more about sexuality, gender fluidity, sexual fluidity, stuff like that. I would just really like open the doors. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that they were trying to do just that in the online, the digital stuff. So I don't know if you'd looked at it recently, but yeah, I recall them definitely trying to do that. I want to know when the mansion was dismantled, which was another heartbreaking moment for me, and I imagine you too. How did you feel about that? And were you able to have any mementos from your dad, from the mansion that you treasure?
What's it like not being able to go to the mansion anymore?
It's horrifying. I mean, you know, and even if I couldn't go to get those invites, and by the way, I've saved each and every one of those invites because they were works of art in and of themselves. But I mean, you know, it was, even though many times we couldn't attend, just the thought of knowing it was there and, you know, that your dad and all those people were there and I was going to see photos eventually pretty soon. I mean, it was just such an exciting and different time of the life, and my life in particular. I mean, because it was just something that you just so looked forward to, and you felt so privileged when you were invited. So kind of that's my take on it. And what about you? I know you probably loved the parties there as well as living there, right?
Yeah. It's just sad to not be able to see like the people who I used to see, Ray Anthony or you, or just the feeling of smiling and getting hugs and being in the great hall, or it's mostly the people that I don't get to hang out with anymore. It's sad.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's so sweet. Well, Ray Anthony, isn't he at like 102 now?
Yes. You know, if he could, I'm sure he would still be playing tennis. The guy was playing tennis until he was like 101 years old. I mean, it was incredible.
Are you kidding? That's amazing. Well, let me ask you, who were some of your favorite people that were visitors to the mansion?
I liked the girls. My dad's, I'm sorry. I know that's not politically correct. I liked my dad's girlfriends and wives. I liked the butler, some of the butlers. It's hard to give blanket statements, but I loved Joel and Allison, Doc, who was my father's doctor. I would play with them backgammon every Sunday.
Oh, play with them. So how old were you when you were living at the mansion?
Throughout my life, off and on. But I, as a kid, I moved next door when I was in third grade. So I was maybe 6 or 7 when I moved out. And then throughout my life, I would stay there periodically.
Yeah. And, you know, I love the fact that your mom had a house on the grounds just next door to where your dad lived, and you went back and forth, and I mean, you could go wherever you want to see each of your parents. That was a wonderful setup, I thought, that was arranged for, you know, despite the fact that they were separated. How did that work out for you and Cooper?
Yeah, I loved it. I got to be with my dad whenever I wanted. I got to hang out at the mansion whenever I wanted. It was just, it was great. I don't know. I wish I had a more clever response, but it was just very enjoyable.
Oh, that's good. And you're married now. You're married to a beautiful Anna, and you have a darling little son, Forrest. How's family life? And what advice are you going to give your son when he grows up about living in this world?
I don't know. I think my father thought outside the box, and he was a very unique person. And so it's okay to be different. Mm-hmm. It's okay to think things that are different than your peers. And I do agree with him to follow your dreams.
Yeah.
And I'll be there to catch him, and I'll be there to support him.
Oh, I love that.
That's what my father said in he visited his old high school, Steinmetz or something, and he told the whole class, follow your dreams. And that's what he did.
Yeah. I want to, another one of your interviews that I heard, and it says that you would have liked to have been a CEO for Playboy. And I believe that you added a rich one, which I really loved. And if you ever had a chance to have worked for the organization, I mean, how did Cooper wind up in that position? And I guess you didn't seem to be a part of it at that time. So would you wish you could have gone back and done something out there, or were you busy doing your own thing?
No, I have no regrets. I'm glad. I'm very grateful the way that life has panned out. I think, you know, there was just no invitation for me to join the company. And then I was also like very into philosophy and reading.
You know, I heard that you've got a very robust OnlyFans account. You collect, you know, you're kind of a gamer. You collect rare Pokemon cards. I just saw a post about one of the ones that your wife gave you for Christmas, which is fabulous. What else are you up to? What do you like doing in your spare time, or what keeps you busy these days?
I'm an artist. I've been an artist since I was like 19 years old. So mm-hmm. I dedicate my time between being a pop-pop, and learning coding, learning writing, a little bit of drawing that I'm not very good at. Anything to further the little or big art project I'm working on.
Oh, what art project? I
am making a virtual world. So I'm learning coding to put my writing onto a website, and then mm-hmm. it'll be like a book. I'd prefer to call it a book than a video game, because if somebody thinks it's a video game, they're going to want it to be very interactive. But it's simply mm-hmm. you read the story on the web page, and then you can choose where you go. And as you play the game, or as you read the book, you can accumulate items, accumulate armor, accumulate weapons, level up your character, fight. And so it's an interactive story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it sounds yes. cool. What do you have? What's it about? What's the name of it? Or do you have one yet?
It's so far right now, it's called The Tales of Ren. And mm-hmm. Ren is the city of gnomes. And that's where you start out. That's where you're born. You're born a gnome. And it's in the genre fantasy of Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, maybe a little Harry Potter.
Oh, you had me at Harry Potter. Excellent.
Yeah, I love Harry Potter too.
Yeah. So when you go out, do you, I mean, your name, of course, obviously attracts attention alone, but you're also very recognizable. I mean, I think, at least I think you are. When you go out, do you still get, you know, people hitting you up like, oh, you're so-and-so, and, you know, do you still get that kind of attention, or? And do you like it or not like it?
I've never got that attention, and I don't think I would mind it. I do like my privacy, but you know, ultimately the goal for me is to be financially like better off than I am now, mm-hmm. which I'm already very well off now, but it's just that I would like it more so. And so that means being more famous. But like fame alone does not interest me too much. But mm-hmm. no, I'm not recognized in Starbucks and stuff. And I think there's kind of an advantage to that for sure, because then the friend that you make at Starbucks or something, you know, immediately doesn't have any motives at all except that, hey, they like hanging out with you.
Yeah. Well, I do recall you were pretty popular at the mansion parties now, Marson. I know you might not enjoy it, but I think you got a lot of attention. Do you
Yeah.
remember any particular parties that you had fun, tons of fun at? I mean, did you
Oh
like the
yeah.
parties?
I loved the parties. I'm sober now about 6 years, so I don't think I would enjoy the parties
Oh, I
anymore as
didn't know
much.
that. Okay, good for you.
Thank you. But the parties were so much fun. I especially loved Halloween because they would build this haunted house. They would spend months and months on the tennis court building this haunted house from the ground up. You know, that's so my dad talking about generosity. I mean, there's no financial incentive to make this incredible building on his tennis court, except that he wanted people to just enjoy themselves so much and get scared and laugh. And that haunted house was so terrifying, and what a money sink it was, but he didn't care. And we all, I mean, that was one of the best parties of the year.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know how I missed that party, and that kind of upsets me, but I'm glad to hear that it was so special.
It was
Let me ask you
awesome.
another question. Your dad, there's been so many documentaries, or a couple documentaries, and people are writing books about him and this and that. What do you think your dad's legacy will be or is now after all that he's done for, first of all, sexual mores and just, I mean, lifestyle brand and everything else? How do you see your dad's legacy?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think it is not what will be or what has changed. I don't think anything's changed. I'm mostly interested in the sexual mores, and the business aspect and the publishing aspect and all of those things. I mean, Playboy's like Coca-Cola or McDonald's in the sense that it's not going away ever, you know,
Ever.
and ever. Yeah. And I don't think of that as very different from a great novel like War and Peace. War and Peace isn't going away ever, in the same way that the Playboy logo might still be here 400 years from now. I mean, that's
For sure.
wild to think about it like that.
It is wild. And I read somewhere, and I know this is true, that it's one of like two besides Apple, the most recognizable logos in the world. So, I mean, it's just a, and I, another thing about your dad that, that's not well documented is all of his philanthropy with different charities and nonprofits. And, I mean, people don't talk about that, but I know that the business end of it is something that's made him famous. But he was really such an incredible all-around man. I mean, he did so much for so many, and I'm just his biggest champion. I mean, among many others, but you must be so proud to have such a legacy as that.
Yeah, he did a lot of charity work. You're right. They don't talk about it. I think it's a lot for animals, especially. The more recent charity work they don't talk about for sure. Yeah.
I think, and your sister, he does the same thing, and I'm sure you all in your own ways do. And so he taught you all really well. And speaking of lasting forever, I'm glad to hear you say that because I agree with you 100%. And not long ago, I had my Playboy Bunny costume appraised on Antiques Roadshow. And you know how much they appraised it for?
Was in it 25,
$25,000.
yeah.
You did know. Oh yeah. So I was shocked at that, but it just shows you that all the memorabilia, and I collect a lot of them. I got his first book of jokes and things like that. But do you have any memorabilia from your dad that are Playboy that you treasure?
I do. I got his backgammon dice, which have inscribed in it HMH. And I have the backgammon board, which has the Playboy. It's the Playboy backgammon board. But the dice are really special to me because they are his personal dice that we used every Sunday. And literally in the dice, it says his initials. I love those.
Oh, that's fantastic. I listened to you, like I mentioned earlier, to you and Crystal's podcast, and she talked about, I mean, I remember the volumes of scrapbooks that your dad meticulously kept. I mean, I think at one somebody said that it was the largest collection in the world of scrapbooks. And I under does she ha she has those now. And I think that you had, offered to take them off her hands if she was interested. But the well, how do you feel about that? I just think those should have gone to the kids, but that's just me, I guess.
Well, it's not hers. It's the foundation, I think.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
Yeah, so I, or they should be like in some film or something, or some massive coffee table book, or I don't know. Is there any plans towards stuff like that, or are they just going to stick there in the foundation?
It's a great idea, and Crystal and I were talking about that on the podcast, but I think there's copyright problems because these are photographs of people who didn't, you know, consent, or it was so long ago like it's the perfect coffee table book. Like these are moments in history and moments in a life that I would love to look at, and I think a lot of people would love access to, and it's just not even legally possible as far as I know. That's what Crystal said. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's too bad, but well, I know. I'm glad everybody's got their eyeballs on it, and it's obviously they're somewhere safe, so maybe one day we can still hope. So in 5 years, Marston, where do you see yourself, and what do you hope you'll be doing?
I'm doing what I love. I'm staying in the present moment, so I mm-hmm. would like to keep creating art. I'd like to be a wonderful father. And I'd like to figure out a way to do both of those things exceptionally well.
Oh, well, I think you're doing that already. And I'm so... on date nights, what do you and your wife like to do?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, one, our, like, go-to rest and relaxation is to watch The Real Housewives on Bravo.
I like that, too. Guilty pleasure.
Oh, my God. Which series do you watch?
Well, I watch them all, quite frankly, at different times. Yeah. So it's but I like the ones in New York. I mean, they seem to be a wild and woolly group of girls. So.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think that's a genius series. And
me so, too.
Yeah, my husband has to leave the room, of course, when I watch it. But
that's another story. Just throw him under the bus. Jeez.
Yeah, well, that's true. I can't lie.
What is the it's Jen Larson. I think she's great. Is that her name? On New York.
I think so. I don't know all of their names, but that Jessups or Lessups, the Countess, and
I know I get all the names mixed up.
Yeah,
anyways,
I can't keep track. And they move them in and out. As long as the story stays the same, that's all I care about.
I know.
Did you get to visit the mansion in Chicago when your dad was here, or was that before
the mansion? Well, it's the dormitory, right?
Well, it was, and then it became private residences, condos.
Condos. Yeah, we looked at it outside, but I think it's so different. There was no real point to go inside, but we looked at it from outside. Yeah.
But, you know, I have seen the condos inside, and they really are magnificent. I mean, there's one, of course, that encompasses the whole ballroom, and that's the person's living room. And, you know, I mean, they're very high-end, obviously, but they've been redone in a way that is really extravagant and luxurious. So, you know, I personally would have liked to have seen that as a museum.
I hear you. I also don't mind the fact that they're like doing a luxurious condo, because it's kind of, that's beautiful in its own right. But
well, that's true, and it was along his style. But I'm going to get back to this museum thing, because I got a bug in my butt about this. After I put on my Instagram about this costume, the Chicago History Museum contacted me, and they're interested in acquiring the memorabilia that I've got from Playboy. And I thought that's a great idea. And they said they have a small collection of Playboy things, but they're looking obviously for more. And I thought, God, that would be so great if they would do, you know, like a really robust collection of Playboy memorabilia here in Chicago at that History Museum. So do you know, or have you heard of any other plans anywhere else for, I mean, with all this history, I mean, I'm surprised that nobody's scooped it up or tried to anyway. To make an exhibit about it.
Yeah, it's just so much. There's so much of the scrapbooks. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but of the scrapbooks.
No, I'm talking about just memorabilia in general.
Memorabilia.
I mean, because I don't know what they have at the History Museum here in Chicago of his or of Playboy, but, you know, just they wanted to plan an exhibit around it. And I think that any Playboy exhibit would be such a blowout affair, and people would love to come see, you know, all this stuff. I mean, you know, you could have costumes, you could have, you know, like his smoking jackets, or, you know, all the things that were so iconic that you, you know, remember about Playboy. And I mean, I remember when the auction came up after he passed, that whole massive catalog, there was so much stuff in it. I mean, it was just I wish I could have bought it all. It was just it was sad to see it go, but I mean, there's such an interest in that, don't you think?
I don't think so. Not right now.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
Or maybe it's just me, the fanatic of the bunch.
Yeah, I think you're like, you. This is something you really love. You know, it's yeah, like coming out clearly.
I think you
like,
want to be the curator of the museum is what I think.
Yeah. you want to set this all up, I think.
I'm
is
trying
like,
to.
You know?
You're damn yeah, right I'm trying to. I
love
I'm a
that.
I'm a one-woman band here. But, well, anyway, that's interesting that you think that. But, well, all right. I'll have to move on from that question.
Oh,
then.
Gosh. I'm just happy that you are so passionate about it.
Oh, I am. Well, he was nothing but a kind person to me. And, I mean, he gave me the life I have now. If it wasn't for him bringing me from, you know, up from the club in St. Louis to Chicago, I would never, I mean, I wouldn't be married to my husband. I wouldn't be here talking to you guys. And so, no, I feel like I really owe him a lot. And I'm grateful yeah, for my time there. So, yeah. And, you know, I have so many Playboy Bunny friends and playmates that, you know, the love for your dad is never ending. And it's just so wonderful to see. And I'm in chat rooms with some of the girls that, you know, we all feel the same. And it's just, it's a wonderful, he gave me a sorority and he gave me a whole group of best friends. I'm an only child. So it really, it struck me at just the right time and place. And I am just forever grateful. So anyway, yeah, there's my little soapbox speech.
And you've done your own thing with it too. You're very ambitious and you took the opportunity and you made the best of it and more. And so I think that's,
yeah,
that's awesome too.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much, Marston. Well, listen, is there anything that you want us to know moving forward about where we could follow you or, you know, and, you know, how we can support you and whatever endeavors you're going to be up to? How can we follow
you? Can follow my Instagram. I think it's Marston101.
Mm-hmm.
And everything starts from there. So,
so I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
If it's okay. You know, this is like an insider Playboy thing here. So my only connection to it was my dad was a subscriber for about 40 years. And the other day I came across a Playboy swizzle stick. And I thought, this should be in a museum. Right, Candace?
Well, there were millions of swizzle
yeah,
sticks.
Well,
so it's not exactly a unique item.
Well,
but
I'm going to send it over to you just in case you don't have. Yeah. Do you have one?
I do have many, many swizzle
all right,
sticks.
I'll keep it then. Yes. But my question, Marston, is, you know, your dad, and Candace and I have talked about this a few times. I always felt that your dad, by the way he structured the magazine, got men reading when the last time they usually read something was their high school yearbook, right? But because of the way the thing was laid out and because of the, just really the innovations and the expanse of the magazine, but all the writing that was there was just award-winning stuff. It was almost like he was trying to get people to read, men especially, when they may not have wanted to, but pretty soon it became a real staple. It wasn't just about the Playmates, it was about the content as well. And since he, you know, in college had a, I think he had a both art and creative writing, that, you know, that time has come and gone to some great or lesser degree, but do you feel some of that stuff has run downhill to you, the same creative art and writing that I heard, just heard you talk about. There's no way you're going to recreate all that. But it's interesting to me that in some ways you're doing your very own thing, but with the same motives that he had.
Yeah, there's all so much that you said, and it was so well said. I think it's just incredible that he was able to take art and take thought and take conversation so seriously and be so successful, and also, you know, the sex and the pictures and the nudity helped that, but it was also like a part of the whole picture. And so in terms of me with my art, I mean, I do take it very seriously. I think, yeah, maybe he did help in a way, because I always thought of art as an intellectually worthy and, like, you know, quote unquote serious pursuit. I always found it interesting, and having conversations like that was interesting. And the magazine had all of that. It paid their artists higher wages than anybody else paid. And they paid for the best artists to be in their magazines and the best writers. They had Jack Kerouac, Joyce Carol Oates, Ray Bradbury.
Yep.
And so like that seriousness to art, maybe that is a part of me. And it's like, it's a little embarrassing because it's like, oh, he takes art seriously, but it's like, no, I really do. I really do love art. And I do take it seriously, just in the same way that the magazine did. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious. I'm looking at some of your stuff online and what you're doing. It's like, even though it's a different time and it's different context and definitely different content, it's the same basic tenets that your dad used to make that work. It seems like you're putting to use in your own work. So it was just like, wow, that's really interesting.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, Marston, listen, I have to tell you that I'm so impressed by you, your kindness to every human being, your live and let live attitude. I mean, you're really something special. And I'm so thrilled to have gotten you on the podcast. And I wish nothing but the best for you and your family. And of course, the whole Playboy enterprise, whatever is left of it, which I hope is still a lot, but we'll see.
Like my father, I tear up quite a bit. I don't know if you ever got to see him tear up, but
yes,
he was emotional, yeah, like me.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate you saying that, and thank you. And like, I feel the same way about your energy. I do. Yeah. And I think that you're just making the world a sweeter, kinder place, and that's worthwhile.
Okay, well, now I'm tearing up. Thank you so much, Marston. Thank goodness I don't have eyelashes on. All right. Love you, honey. You stay well and keep in touch. Great. Yes. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Marston. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Are you all right?
No, I'm choked up.
Oh, you're a little choked up, a little Frick Lent?
I'm choked up. I really love him. I love his family. I love his brother, Cooper, which I guess I knew Cooper a little bit better than Marston, but I mean, Cooper chose me in like 2017 or whatever to recreate one of my Playboy covers.
Yes.
And he chose his mom and me and then four other playmates. So it was really an honor. And then when he was in Chicago, he had me introduce some presentation that he was doing at one of the movie theaters. And mm-hmm. So, I mean, and he always invited us to, you know, the parties after his dad passed, which was really kind of him. I mean, it's just that they're an amazing family, and they're truly like my own physical family. That's how strongly I feel about it.
You know, one of the things I heard you say that I don't know that I really realized this before until you articulated it the way you did, is that without Hugh Hefner, this life you have does not exist.
No, not
and,
at all.
And I think that it's easy to forget the people that brought us to the dance mm-hmm. when we start doing our own thing and we get busy and all that kind of stuff. And I, as you were saying that, I'm thinking of the, you know, three or four or five people in my life that I would build a museum for them too, if I had the resources. Yeah. And I just think that to me speaks so much of your upbringing and your gratitude, which is a 180 from all the shit you see on television. I mean, come on.
I have to agree. Yeah, no, I get worked up about certain things. There's no question. And anybody trashing Hefner is one of them. So, let's see. Well, thank you for that, John. And thank you for your questions, too. I mean, he's a very deep thinker and a very mm-hmm. thoughtful guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see, it took time to answer his questions.
Exactly.
And that was very interesting. And he's got so much of his dad that I see in him, which mm-hmm. is fabulous.
His voice is eerily similar.
Eerily similar. I thought the same thing. Yeah. Exactly. It was wonderful. It's like he was here still, which he is.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So I told you earlier that we've been busy this week, Chuck and I, unfortunately, poor Chuck, but we have been very busy this week. And I want to tell you about some of these events because they're ongoing and they're things that I would recommend. So I don't talk about anything that I don't think is terrific. And last night we attended the grand opening party for a thing called, it's an experience called Wonderverse.
And it Wonderverse.
Is a Wonderverse. And it was presented by Sony Pictures Entertainment. And it was at the Oak Brook Center, and it's a huge experiential Wonderverse where you can interact with things from some of your favorite films, like Ghostbusters, Jumanji, you know, Bad Boys, Zombieland. But it's like, it was this huge complex, but it was opening night, so there were celebrities there. This McKenna Grace, who is going to be the star of the next Ghostbusters film, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, was there walking the red carpet with some people from Chicago PD and, you know, other celebrities. And, I mean, they had people in little big clear balls rolling around, like, with fire inside. And
well, that's not a big deal. I do that every Friday night, so who cares about that? Keep going.
Yeah, I forgot who I was talking to for a minute. And they had, you know, like girls dressed in disco balls, and they had food, and they had this one little, and you could go down these little secret rooms and something different. Like, we went in the Ghost ghost bar trap or something. It was like a little Ghostbusters bar, and you go in, and it's a beautiful, cozy little room with these, you know, floor to ceiling drinks things all lit up, and ghosts, you know, flying around the room, you know, AI generated or whatever. And I mean, and then they had, you know, all these gamers. It's a gamer's paradise because they have a whole room of, you know, classic and modern activations where you can get in and use, you know, virtual reality masks, and you can fight with all the people and do whatever and all these things. I mean, it was absolutely like a three ring circus.
So I just went on their website. I didn't realize, because you're right not far from me last night out here in the burbs.
Yeah.
And I had seen them put it working on this. And I thought, now what are we doing over here? Do we need another restaurant over in Oak Brook? So it sounds really intriguing.
Oh, it was wildly intriguing. And, you know, and it's not just for kids. I mean, a lot of people think about all the things that are going on there. It's for kids. No, it's something for everybody there. And they have, you know, food and restaurants and drinks and cocktails. And I mean, I wrote about it on Chicago Star Media. So it's you have to read the article because I've got some great pictures there. And but anyway, it was a super fabulous experience.
Did you get Chuck in one of those rolling glass balls on fire thing for him or no? Because yeah. I'd love to see that.
I have a great picture of Chuck standing at the bar with a beer in his hand.
That works too.
That was as far as he got to the experience.
Because he's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's a very smart man. So, but it was fun. And they had the Ghostbusters ambulance out front, you know, that old prop from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really made it cool in a, you know, red carpet entrance. And it was a lot of fun. And I hesitated about going because sometimes these kinds of experiences are not exactly up my alley. But this one was really so different and exciting. So I recommend it to everybody. And it's going to be there at Oak Brook Center for a long time. From what I understand, they're going to switch it up with other, you know, themes. So it's ongoing. So you should check it out if you get a chance at Oak Brook Center. Another thing I want to tell you about is, have you ever been to a Vasalopita celebration?
That sounds like a medical term.
Yes,
so no.
Well, you know, Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas.
Go ahead.
She had a wonderful party at her offices, and it was a celebration of the Greek New Year, and it was called the cutting of the Greek Vasalopita cake. And so the eminence Metropolitan Nathaniel of the Greek Orthodox Church cut the cake and distributed, and a place was filled, and they had enough cake for everybody. And inside one of the pieces of cake, there was a little gold coin. Whoever won the coin, got the coin, will have continued good luck throughout the year. So, but it was really fun, and they had consulate generals from every country on stage.
Wow.
Tony Preckwinkle was there. I mean, it was John Daly was there. And so it was really kind of a great celebration. I had never heard of it before, but leave it to Maria to find something to celebrate.
I was going
to
say, she does nothing small, does she?
No, she does not do anything small, bless her heart. Also this week, we went to an event that Paul Conrad, you know, that weather... No,
I do know Paul, WG, yes.
Yeah, Paul mm-hmm. Conrad. Well, he and Dean Richards, they had an event at the Morgan Arts Complex called Achieving My Best Life. And it was a terrific event for those affected by autism. So it was a fundraiser for that. And they had a band, they had great food, and I think they raised some money. So it was fun. And the food stations were by Chef Michael Bonner, and he's a former Let Us Entertain You partner. So he is an incredible chef. The food was out of this world. But it was a really nice cause, and it was a nasty, nasty night, and the room was still filled, which
was
that's terrific.
Good.
I love
good guys,
it.
Good guys.
Yeah. And I am going to be at Carrie Carey's at Navy Pier with bells on Friday, February 2nd at 3 p.m. Groundhog Day, because listen to this. Grant DePorter is planning an amazing celebration to honor the 10-year celebration of life for Harold Ramis, but it's also the entire cast of Groundhog Day, the movie, will
really?
Be there to celebrate. Yeah, except for maybe a few. Maybe Andy McDowell, I don't know about, or Bill Murray, but everybody else is going to be there. And Erica Mann Ramis, his widow, will be on hand, and they're going to just, I mean, any party that Grant DePorter throws is an absolute blowout. And so, this one's going to be the same. I mean, Alderman Brent Riley is going to close out the ceremony by declaring it Harold Ramis Day in Chicago. There'll be drinks and fun and, you know, all kinds of, the whole pier, by the way, will be a part of this celebration. So there'll be, what's the little Harry the Woodchuck is going, his picture is going to be on the Ferris wheel.
Wait. Yeah, little Harry the Woodchuck?
Yeah, Woodchuck will be there, little Harry the Woodchuck, and he's going to be, like, his picture will be featured on the Ferris wheel. And then at different areas throughout the, they'll all be related to Groundhog Day. There'll be ice sculptures, and, you know, there'll be a bust of Harold Ramis that appeared in the version of Ghostbusters. There'll be jumpsuits worn by Harold Ramis and Bill Murray in the movie. There'll be Harold leather-bound shooting scripts that you can see.
Wow.
And the incredible photo op. So it's going to be really fun, and it's all going to be, the whole pier will be dedicated to Harold Ramis, Groundhog Day, and this movie. So
that's fantastic. You know,
yes!
As much as I enjoy that movie, my feral groundhog named Harry, yeah. My favorite Harold Ramis movie is Stripes.
I can't get enough of that. Well, let me remind people that this event is free and open to the public. Starts at 3:00, and Harry Carey's at Navy Pier. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, we also went to the boat show this week.
Yes.
Like, there's not enough to do. But anyway, yeah, it was terrific. And the boat show's ongoing at McCormick Place through the 14th. And one of the things that I like, there's a place for kids that's fabulous. It's like a little quote-unquote beach club. Mm-hmm. And they've got this little pond where the kid can splash around in these little boats, you know, that little rubber boats, whatever they're called, I mean, it's fun. So there's something for everybody here, the kids, the parents, you know, the boats. And so I liked the classic boat part because they had one of those old wooden boats that they had on display. It was absolutely spectacular.
An old wooden boat, like a Viking ship? That old or not that old?
No, you know those kind that,
yes,
you know, the shiny ones.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, and my final... And I'm going to say this is going to be another incredible event. And this is something that if you're a sports fan, you've got to come to this. It's going to Israel Adonijé and Chef Stephen Gillanders are joining forces, listen to this, to open an upscale restaurant and bar, sports bar called Signature in the South Loop. And the opening is set for January 20th. I am going to be there with bells on because this is going to, everybody on the planet will be there. It will be so much fun. And I'm so excited for this first restaurant venture of his. And you know, I mean, I know there's sports bars in Chicago, but there's only one that's going to be owned by Israel Adonijé, which will be a huge draw, I think.
I remember when he was talking about it when he did the show a couple months ago.
Oh, you're right. I forgot he did
mention
that.
Yes, he did.
Oh, I'm so glad you've got a memory since I don't. That's great. We're a great pair we are.
Between us, we have a brain, so that's good.
Yeah, whole brain. But anyway, so as you can see, there's a lot of fun stuff going on in the city. And I'm still on a high from talking to Marston Heffern.
Sure.
I mean, really a high. I am just absolutely vibrating. I'm so excited.
You know, I'm going to go back to what he said. I've said this many times on here, and you get all shucks on me all the time, and other people have said it. He hit the nail on the head. You know, the energy that you bring to this podcast that is, don't start crying. I'm not done yet. But anyway, the people listening to this, you know, you get responses and I hear from people and there's just something about your authentic energy and the goodness that you have in seeing our city and what's going on in the city from a very different perspective than it's usually portrayed.
Oh.
And as I've told you before, had you not come out and say, here's this, here's this, here's this, there's a bunch of old wooden ships they're looking at, Chuck's at the bar, whatever it is. You know, we don't hear about these things and what's behind the scenes to it. So not only you know what it is. You're kind of recreating your own little mini version of the Playboy magazine.
Oh, now you got me.
Yeah, you got a nice interview. You got the Playboy interview in the middle. You got Marston Heffern. Then you got all the stuff that's going on. You got commentary, you know. It's all there.
Well, thank you. I forgot an event. I've got to mention it. Thank you for that, John. I appreciate that so much. I mean, you've tell me that, and I mean,
and you slough it off, which is good, because if you really believed it all, then I wouldn't be able to live with you. So, and I don't anyway. But you know what
no,
I'm saying?
No, I know. Well, yeah, that's thank God. Okay, so February. Here's another one. You have to mark your calendars for February 24th. It's going to be at the Ravenswood Event Center, and this is one of my favorite dance companies, Giordano Dance Chicago, will have their 61st season gala, and it's called Studio 61. You have to come. I'll be there. The dancers will be there. There's an exciting surprise involving the dancers and a new choreography that they've got, and it'll be on display. It'll be so much fun. And every year this party gets better and better. And I know this year it's going to be out of this world. So that's February 24th at Ravenswood Event Center. Try to come.
Very nice.
Thank you, John. So what are you up to? What are you doing this weekend?
You know, not a whole lot.
Laying around, drinking beer?
Yeah, sit around, drink beer. You know, I'm pretty well stocked with bourbon these days, and we're already set up in case, you know, the weather is going to take a drop. But you know what? It's January in Chicago. It's supposed to be this way. If it was 80 and sunny, I'd really be worried about it. But kind of low-key watching football, because there's football playoffs on.
Yeah, all Sunday.
I'll be doing that. And, yeah, just, you know, getting ready for next week. I got so many projects going on audio-wise with audiobooks and things like that. So
cool.
It is nice to, yeah, I really enjoy that. You know, it's a part of my work that I never gave much thought to. Mm-hmm. It's like creating radio, except it's obviously people's books. And when I do that and their voice gets out in the world, it's just another platform to help people make a difference. So I enjoy that. So a little break from that, but next week I'll be back at it big time.
Oh, John, you know, you compliment me. I'm going to tell you what you do in this city and beyond is unbelievable. I mean, your motivational speaking skills are nonpareil, and you can motivate a dead snake. I'm telling you, absolutely. That's how good you are.
Well,
so I really love you.
You know
and
what
I
it is?
You're the perfect host, and I'm so lucky to have you.
Listen, I knew back when we first connected. By the way, I'm trying to think of, you know, I couldn't get the exact year right, but I know that it was 2012, 13, 14, somewhere there when we first met when I was on WGN, and you were coming on a fairly regular basis. And I knew at some point we'd do something together. I just didn't know what it was. And so when the whole podcast thing kind of showed itself last year, about this time we talked, or somewhere around then, it was like, you know, I could see in you what needs to come out. And because it's just another platform for you to do your good work. So that was, you know, to get behind this is an easy thing. And it reminds me of one of my favorite Hugh Hefner quotes.
Oh, tell me.
Life is too short to be living somebody else's dream.
Mm. Mm, that is deep.
Yeah.
I've heard that. That is really well put and something that we could all consider. There's no question.
And but I always felt whether you agreed or disagreed or liked or didn't like the whole Playboy thing, what I mostly was appreciative of, and I did like it, by the way, and still do, but my appreciation comes from, here's a guy who, as I recall, I'm just pulling this kind of off the top of my head, he quit his job because he couldn't get a $5 a week raise.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah, so I got that part right. And then he goes to his mom, and she gives him some money, gets a bunch of money from investors, bunch meaning relative back in the back in the day. And he builds something from nothing. I have so much respect for that. That he deserved all the accolades that he got and more, and that his legacy continues like this. I think it's fascinating and fantastic.
I think it's fantastic, and I love that Marston knows in his heart that this will never go away. Playboy will always be with us, and for that, I'll be eternally grateful.
And the fact that I lit up over a swizzle stick. Oh, my dad had these. It's a swizzle stick with the Playboy rabbit on top. Look at it.
You didn't know, you poor little thing.
Yeah, well.
That's why I'm here. I'll help you.
That's right. You can run interference.
Well, I hope you've all enjoyed this podcast. I know I have. I've enjoyed this conversation with Marston. I always love talking to John, and I hope that I've shared some wonderful events that you'll be attending, and I will see you there. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Candace podcast. For more of what's going on in Chicago, go to CandidCandace.com.